In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Our gospel this morning picks up on a thread from earlier in Luke's account. In chapter 5, we're told that our Lord called Matthew, or Levi, the tax collector, to follow him. Subsequently, Matthew leaves his booth and goes to his home and throws a great feast and hosts our Lord and other tax collectors and publicans with him there. And the Pharisees and scribes look upon this feast and murmur, "Who is this that eats with sinners?" And our Lord responds in that moment, "They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Our gospel this morning brings us to a similar scene. The tax collectors and the publicans have gathered to hear Jesus teach. And again, the Pharisees and the scribes look on to this and say, "Who is this man that associates with sinners?" And our Lord then tells three parables to sort of expound on this idea that we heard in Luke 5. "I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." I want to walk through these three parables: the parable of the 99 sheep, the parable of the one lost coin, and the parable of the lost son. But I want us to have in mind before we do that, that these parables, and in fact all parables, function on three levels. The level of God's heart or movement into creation. You might say the cosmic level. The second level is the movement within our own heart, within our own soul, in light of that first movement. And then lastly, in light of those two movements, God's movement into creation, our movement in our own soul, what should that overflow look like into the world? So the first movement, God's movement into creation. What man, having 100 sheep, if he lost one, would not leave the 99 to go find it? And in finding it, would lay it on his shoulders, rejoicing. He would then bring the sheep home and call a feast for his friends and neighbors. The church fathers invite us to consider this parable in light of God's movement into creation. The maker and judge of our world gave of his beloved son, the shepherd and overseer of our souls. He left the 99, meaning the heavenly host, to go after the lost sheep, mankind. And in finding him, he does not beat him or snatch him with his shepherd's crook, but he humbles himself to be born of a virgin, becoming obedient unto death, even death upon a cross. And then lays man on his shoulders like a lost sheep, like the cross, as he moves and ascends up Calvary. And in this way, we're invited to consider the ascension of our Lord, not merely from our perspective, our Lord rising to be seated in glory next to the Father, but from the perspective of heaven. They're celebrating the return of the King, bearing on his shoulders the lost sheep. The parable tells us, quite strangely it sounds, that there will be more rejoicing in heaven over the one sinner that repents than the 99 which need no repentance. God and all of heaven long to celebrate the return of a sinner. So if that's what God is doing on the scale of all of creation, how should that shape our heart, our own inner life? Well, consider the woman who having 10 silver coins loses one, would she not light a candle and disturb or sweep the house and seek diligently until it's found? And in finding it, would she not rejoice and call a feast to celebrate that which once was lost now is found? I want us to consider this morning, no one in this room is perfect, and I hope that is not news to anyone. Yes, we all have flaws. But the opposite is also true. None of us are totally bankrupt. We all have something, some good deeds, some good thoughts, some good relationships, some good inclinations. These things are commendable. We thank God for those things. Consider these the 9 coins that you have that are found. But what I invite you to do this morning is to consider the 1 coin that is lost. Maybe that 1 dose of bitterness you have over something that's happened. Maybe that 1 bit of unforgiveness you have towards a brother or sister. Maybe that quantity of pride you have over the 9 good things that you do have that causes you to exalt yourself over the others around you, to look down on those that do not have what you seem to so abundantly have. Seek after that lost coin, that thing that you've treasured for your sake. Gather it and bring it to the Father. This parable ends the same way the first one did, because there will be more rejoicing in heaven over 1 sinner that repents. There will be more rejoicing in heaven over your 1 act of repentance than over 9 good deeds. So if that's what's happening at the level of creation and what that should stir within our own soul, how then should we treat others? What should this overflow look like into the world? Consider the parable of the lost son. It's a familiar parable. A father has 2 sons. The younger one comes to the father, says, "I want my inheritance early. I want to act as if you've already passed away, and what is rightly mine, give it to me." And he goes and squanders it on riotous living. Instead of being a son in his father's house, he becomes a servant, a slave, under a foreigner. Instead of dining at his father's feast, he now looks onto the pigs and their slop with envy. And as he hits rock bottom, he resolves within himself to begin to move back to his father and to fall on his knees before him and say, "Father, I've sinned before you and before heaven. Because of what I've done, I'm not worthy to be called your son. But may I please enter your house as a servant?" And we're told that at this moment, the father runs out to greet him, as if he's been longing for this return all along. And he doesn't rebuke him or lecture him about all the consequences of what he's squandered. He embraces him, kisses him, puts a robe on him, and then calls a big feast to celebrate and honor his beloved son, the one who was dead and is now alive. There's great feasting and rejoicing in his home. But this is not where the parable ends. It ends actually outside of the feast, where we see the other son, the older brother, who did not run away, who did not squander the property. He's sulking and understandably angry. And the father runs out to greet him, the same father who ran to greet the repentant son on his way back. He meets him in his anger and invites him into the feast. And the older son takes this opportunity to give the father a piece of his mind. All my life, I have served you. I've done what I'm supposed to do. I've been an honorable son. I've brought honor to our family. I've done everything that you've required of me. And not once have you thrown a feast in my honor. Not once have you recognized my contribution, my standing before you. But this wretched little brother of mine who squandered half of our property, he comes home and you throw him a great feast. I'm not going in there. And the father says, my son, all that I have is yours, and I'm always with you. Come, rejoice with me. Be glad over the things I am glad about. And the parable ends in sort of a cliffhanger. We don't know if the older brother did what the younger brother already accomplished. Through an act of repentance, comes into the feast. Will the older brother be able to do what the younger brother did? Lay down his desires, the things that he thinks are rightly his, and move towards the Father to rejoice not in his own self, but in what the Father longs to rejoice over. And I think we have the same invitation this morning to consider the Good Shepherd who humbled himself to put man upon his shoulders and return in glory to be seated at the right hand of the Father, to search our hearts, not coveting the 9 coins we do have, but seeking after the one that we've lost, to light the candle of repentance and to move towards God with faith and thanksgiving. And then to look at our brothers and sisters, counting the mercy that we've received and longing to rejoice with the Father for the mercy that he is actively pouring out on their behalf. I invite you into the feast this morning to do just that. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.